In the waning years of the 11th century, a call reverberated across the hills and valleys of Europe, a clarion that would echo through the annals of history as the inception of the First Crusade. This monumental expedition, ostensibly launched to reclaim the Holy Lands from Muslim rule, was as much a spiritual quest as it was a military campaign. Among the pantheon of knights and nobles who heeded this divine summons was Godfrey de Bouillon, a figure whose valor and virtue would soon be woven into the very fabric of Crusader legend. The historical backdrop to Godfrey's journey begins in the bustling courts and shadowed cloisters of medieval Christendom. It was at the Council of Clermont in 1095 that Pope Urban II delivered a potent oration, painting the East in hues of sacred urgency and moral decay. His words, Deus vult, God wills it, ignited a fervent zeal across disparate lands, rallying men from all walks of life under a common banner of faith and retribution. Godfrey de Bouillon, born around 1060, was among those stirred by the Pope's impassioned plea. His lineage was noble, tracing back to the great Charlemagne, yet it was not merely lineage that defined him. Described by contemporaries as a paragon of piety and prowess, Godfrey was both a devout Christian and a seasoned warrior, his life a testament to the chivalric ideals that would characterize the Crusades. The newly discovered diary of Godfrey, a veritable treasure trove of first-hand insights, reveals a man deeply introspective and complex. Written in a meticulous hand, these entries provide a window into the soul of a leader caught between his temporal duties and spiritual aspirations. As I prepare to leave my home for Jerusalem, Godfrey writes, I am torn by the dual swords of duty and doubt, each vying to guide my hand. As the narrative unfolds through his words, we traverse the emotional and physical landscapes that shaped his crusade. From the verdant valleys of Boulogne to the parched roads to Byzantium, each page of his diary chronicles the trials and tribulations faced by this man of faith. The reader is drawn into the visceral realities of medieval warfare, the clangor of sword on shield, the cries of the fallen, the silent prayers whispered before battle. Yet this journey was not merely a chronicle of battles fought and territories won. It was a pilgrimage of the soul, as Godfrey grappled with the morality of war and the pursuit of spiritual redemption. His reflections are poignant, often tinged with a melancholic wisdom. What is the weight of a soul, he muses, measured in the balance against the golden glory of Jerusalem? The setting of Godfrey's journey is as dramatic as the inner conflicts it evokes. Europe, at the turn of the 11th century, was a mosaic of power and intrigue, with monarchs and nobles vying for dominion both earthly and spiritual. The Crusade promised not only divine favor, but also an opportunity for the landless and ambitious to carve fortunes from foreign soils. This episode aims to peel back the layers of myth that have enshrouded Godfrey de Bouillon, using his own words to illuminate the man behind the legend. Through the intimate revelations of his diary, we delve into the heart of a warrior pilgrim, exploring the profound human experiences that define the Crusader spirit. His tales are not just of conquests and kings, but of personal sacrifice, unyielding faith, and the eternal quest for meaning in the maelstrom of history. It is a journey through time, thought, and testimony, a mosaic of history pieced together through the very words of one who lived, fought, and prayed through the First Crusade. As we embark on this historical odyssey, remember that the echoes of the past often hold the keys to understanding the complexities of the present. Let the diary of Godfrey de Bouillon guide us through the shadows of history, illuminating the Crusader's path with the flickering torch of his own profound insights and enduring legacy. In the chill of autumn, as the leaves turned a brittle gold and the winds whispered of coming frost, a profound stir took root in the heart of Europe. It was a time of great religious fervor and intense political intrigue. a period when the very foundations of power and piety seemed to tremble under the weight of impending change. Amidst this whirlwind of historical currents, a singular voice rose above the din, cutting through the complexities of medieval geopolitics with a message both urgent and divine. Pope Urban II, standing before the gathered masses at the Council of Clermont in 1095, delivered a speech that would reverberate through the corridors of time. With eloquence and conviction, he painted a vivid tableau of the Holy Land, subjugated under the yoke of the infidel, and called upon the knights and nobles of Christendom to take up arms in a sacred quest to reclaim Jerusalem. His words, imbued with a fiery zeal, left no room for indifference. Christians, hasten to help your brothers in the East, for they are in urgent need of your aid. Let this be your war cry in combat. God wills it. Godfrey de Bouillon, a man of deep faith and formidable martial prowess, found his destiny irrevocably entwined with this divine clarion call. From his stronghold in Boulogne, he had ruled with a judicious blend of strength and mercy, earning the respect of his peers and the love of his subjects. Yet the Pope's impassioned plea awakened in him a higher calling, a celestial summons that could not be ignored. In the pages of his newly discovered diary, Godfrey records his tumultuous inner journey from doubt to determination. Upon hearing the pontiff's words, he writes, "My heart was seized with a fervent zeal, as though the Holy Spirit itself had lit a flame within my soul." His entries reveal not just a decision to march forth, but a profound spiritual awakening, a crusade of the heart before ever setting foot on the battlefield. The social and political landscape of Europe at this time provided fertile ground for Urban's call to resonate. Feudal Europe was a tapestry of competing interests, with noble families vying for power and influence in an often chaotic and unstable environment. The promise of the Crusades offered both spiritual salvation and temporal advantage, an opportunity to gain lands and glory, to settle old scores and forge new alliances. Godfrey's preparations for departure are documented with meticulous detail in his diary. He speaks of gathering his vassals, securing funds, and the emotional farewells to his lands and people. "To leave behind one's home is to die a small death," he muses. "Yet we are promised rebirth in the service of the Lord." His narrative does not shy away from the practicalities of his undertaking, securing provisions, armor, and horses, or the complex logistics of moving an army across continents. His leadership qualities are illuminated through his interactions with fellow crusaders, many drawn from the highest echelons of European nobility. The diary entries of this period reflect a man who was not only a warrior, but a diplomat skilled in the arts of persuasion and negotiation. "In the company of my peers, I find both kinship and contention," he notes, "for each man is a king in his own right, yet we must unite as one if we are to reclaim God's city." As they journeyed across Europe towards Constantinople, the gateway to their eastern endeavors, Godfrey's diary captures the myriad challenges they faced. The harsh winter, the treacherous mountain passes, and the initial skirmishes with local tribes are all recounted with a vividness that transports the reader to the heart of the crusaders' perilous trek. Yet throughout his writings there remains a constant thread of unwavering faith. Though our bodies are weary and our hearts heavy with longing for home, Godfrey writes, "Our spirits soar with the righteousness of our cause, for we are God's instruments, forged in the fires of his will and wielded against the darkness that encroaches upon his holy lands." This first segment of our journey through Godfrey de Bouillon's secret diary not only sets the stage for the epic saga of the First Crusade, but also intimately explores the transformation of a man from a noble lord to a leader of a divine expedition. Through his words, we witness the birth of a legend, not just in the deeds that history remembers, but in the profound personal evolution that the crusade ignited within him. As winter's grip loosened and the first buds of spring began to bloom, Godfrey de Bouillon stood before his assembled host, a formidable force drawn from the heartlands of Christendom. The banners of Boulogne fluttered like the breath of angels above the armored knights and foot soldiers, their faces set with the resolve of those embarking upon a holy mission. This journey, Godfrey proclaimed, is the crucible through which we shall be reborn as instruments of God's will. His voice, deep and resonant, carried over the throngs of men and horses, instilling in them a zealous fervor. The diary entries from this initial phase of the expedition reflect a tapestry of emotions and vivid scenes that paint a stark picture of the trials and tribulations faced by the Crusaders. Godfrey writes of the mixture of fear and excitement that pervaded the camp each night, as tales of distant lands filled with enemies and wonders were shared around the campfires. Each story, he notes, serves both to steel and unsettle the hearts of men. The route from Boulogne to Constantinople was fraught with hardships. The Crusaders traversed the rugged terrains of the Alps, where snow-capped peaks loomed like silent sentinels. Godfrey's descriptions of crossing these majestic mountains evoke a scene of stark beauty and imminent peril. "We climbed so high that it seemed we could touch the very heavens," he wrote. "Yet with each step the abyss beckoned, a misstep away from mortal peril." As they descended into the plains of Central Europe, new challenges emerged. The diary recounts episodes of scarcity of food and water, skirmishes with local tribes who viewed the Crusaders with suspicion and hostility, and the ever-present threat of disease. Godfrey's leadership was tested daily, not just in martial prowess, but in maintaining the morale and discipline of his troops. Leadership, he muses in one poignant entry, is less about the edge of the sword and more about the strength of the spirit. The relationships formed during these arduous journeys were complex and fraught with both camaraderie and conflict. Godfrey writes of his interactions with fellow leaders such as Hugh of Vermandois and Baldwin of Boulogne, his brother, whose ambitions often clashed with his own visions. "Each night we sit under the same stars, yet dream different dreams," reflects Godfrey, capturing the paradox of unity and division within the Crusader rank. Upon reaching Constantinople, the diary entries take on a tone of awe and subtle trepidation. The Byzantine Emperor Alexios Komnenos, while a Christian, was wary of the massive armed pilgrimage that had encamped at his city's gates. Godfrey's entries from this period reveal the diplomatic delicacy required to navigate this tense coexistence. "We are pilgrims and warriors," Boothie writes, "seeking passage through the empire, not conquest of it, yet our very presence is a sword at the throat of peace." The strategic importance of Constantinople as the gateway to Asia Minor is underscored in Godfrey's meticulous planning and negotiations. His diary details the logistical preparations for the crossing into enemy territory, the securing of supply lines, and the forging of temporary alliances with the Byzantine forces. "To reach Jerusalem, we must first conquer the journey," he notes, underscoring the pragmatic aspect of his crusade. In this segment of the diary, Godfrey also delves into the spiritual reflections that accompany his physical journey. The landscape through which they travel becomes a metaphor for the inner landscape each crusader navigates. "The path is fraught with thorns, and the way is obscured by mists," he writes. "Yet faith serves as both our compass and our shield." As they prepare to leave Constantinople and enter into the lands dominated by the Seljuk Turks, Godfrey's final entries in this segment reflect a somber anticipation. "We stand at the threshold of a land soaked in centuries of sanctity and blood," he declared. "May our journey honor those who walk these paths before us, and may our deeds reflect the purity of our cause." This portion of Godfrey de Bouillon's diary not only chronicles the physical journey of the First Crusade, but also explores the profound transformations within the souls of its participants. Through his eloquent and reflective prose, we gain insight into the myriad forces, both external and internal, that shaped the early days of this epic pilgrimage. As the sun rose over the Anatolian plains, casting long shadows across the encamped Crusader forces, the formidable walls of Nicaea stood as silent sentinels, guarding the secrets and wealth of a city that was key to the success of the Crusaders' mission. Godfrey de Bouillon, his gaze fixed upon the ancient fortifications, pondered the upcoming siege. His diary captures the gravity of the moment. Before us lies Nicaea, jewel of Bithynia, veiled in the mists of war. Here, our faith and our swords must speak as one. The siege of Nicaea, initiated in late May 1097, marked the first major confrontation of the First Crusade. The city, a strategic stronghold held by the Seljuk Turks, was crucial due to its proximity to Constantinople and its position guarding the western gateway into the rest of Anatolia. The Crusaders, aware of its significance, were determined to reclaim it for Christendom and secure a critical foothold in enemy territory. Godfrey's entries during this period reflect a blend of tactical acumen and profound reflection. He writes of the assembly of siege engines, the construction of ramparts, and the relentless volleys of arrows and stones. Each stone hurled at these ancient walls is a declaration of our righteous cause, he notes. Yet with each crash, I am reminded of the fragility of life. The siege was characterized by both its scale and intensity. Godfrey recounts the challenges faced: shortages of food and water, the need to maintain a blockade on both land and lake, and the coordination among diverse and often fractious Crusader leaders. His diary reveals his role not just as a warrior, but as a mediator among princes, each driven by their own ambitions and visions of glory. To command is to serve, he writes. Here I serve not only my fellow knights, but the very spirit of our pilgrimage. The narrative grows tense as Godfrey describes a critical turn in the siege. A coordinated assault was planned, involving a simultaneous attack from both land and water. The Crusaders had managed to transport boats overland to the lake, a feat of logistics and determination that Godfrey details with a blend of pride and astonishment. Behold how our boats glide upon the lake as if by the hand of God, from water to wall. Our resolve shall not waver. The climax of the siege is depicted with dramatic flair. Godfrey recounts the final storming of the walls, the fierce hand-to-hand combat, and the eventual breaching of the city gates. His description is vivid and visceral. The air was thick with the clash of steel and the cries of the fallen. We surged forward, a tide of iron and faith, breaking upon the walls like a divine storm. Amidst the chaos, Godfrey reflects on the cost of victory. His diary entries speak of the slaughter within the city and the heavy toll it took on both the besieged and the besiegers. This victory, though sweet, carries the bitter ash of lives lost. I pray their souls find the peace that eludes this blood-soaked earth. After the fall of Nicaea, which was handed over to Byzantine control as per prior agreements with Emperor Alexios Komnenos, Godfrey writes of the delicate diplomacy required to balance the interests of the Crusaders with those of their Byzantine allies. We are bound by blood and oath, yet trust is a fragile bond easily worn by the sands of ambition. Godfrey's thoughts then turn to the road ahead. The path to Jerusalem lay open, fraught with unknown dangers and moral quandaries. We march onward beneath the cross and the crescent, ever shadowed by the spectre of what lies ahead. May our faith illuminate our path as the stars guide the mariner through stormy seas. In this poignant account of the siege, Godfrey de Bouillon emerges not only as a leader of men, but as a contemplative soul, wrestling with the moral complexities of the Crusade. His diary, a blend of historical record and personal meditation, offers a unique window into the heart and mind of one of the Crusade's most iconic figures. As the Crusaders marched towards Jerusalem, continued under the scorching sun of the Middle East, the heat of conflict was not only against their Muslim foes, but also within the ranks of the crusading army itself. It was in this cauldron of clashing swords and clashing wills that Godfrey de Bouillon found himself navigating a precarious web of alliances and rivalries. His diary, filled with reflections and observations, captures the essence of these turbulent times. Godfrey writes of his encounters with the other leaders of the Crusade, figures like Bohemond of Taranto, whose ambition was as vast as the lands they sought to conquer, and Raymond of Toulouse, a man whose piety was matched only by his desire for glory. In the company of such men, Godfrey notes, one must wield the sword of wisdom as deftly as the sword of war. The next segment opens with a vivid recounting of a council held under an ancient olive tree, where the leaders debated their next move after the capture of Antioch. The air was thick with the dust of the recent battle, and the stakes were as high as the tensions. Godfrey's account reveals the fractures that began to appear among the Crusaders. Each prince speaks of unity, he writes, but their hearts are divided by shadows of greed and glory. His council marked the beginning of a series of betrayals that would test Godfrey's leadership and moral compass. The diary details an incident where Bohemond claimed Antioch for himself, defying agreements made at the outset of the Crusade. Godfrey's reaction is a blend of disappointment and resolve. To see a brother knight forsake honor for earthly gain is a sorrow deeper than the wound of any Saracen blade, he laments. Amid these trials, Godfrey's relationships with his fellow crusaders are further strained by the distribution of looted wealth and the strategic decisions on the march to Jerusalem. He writes of secret meetings, whispered conspiracies, and the silent battles fought in the shadows of the camp. At night, I walk among the tents, Godfrey confides in his diary, and hear the rustle of plotting voices as dangerous as the serpents that slither through the rocks. Yet it is not all betrayal and bitterness. Godfrey also writes of moments of profound brotherhood and shared sacrifice. He recounts the Battle of Dorylaeum, where alongside his brother Baldwin and other knights, they stood back to back against overwhelming odds. In that hour, our spirits were forged together in the crucible of combat, and I knew the true meaning of brotherhood, he reflects. He speaks of his nightly prayers, seeking guidance and solace from the divine. Lord, grant me the strength to bear the weight of these crowns we seek, and the wisdom to discern the path of righteousness, he prays, his words echoing the solitude and burden of command. As the Crusaders draw closer to Jerusalem, Godfrey's diary entries become more introspective. He questions the nature of their mission and the cost of their victories. What profit a man to gain a kingdom, yet forfeit his soul? He muses, contemplating the ruins of cities and lives left in their wake. The segment closes with a powerful reflection on the nature of leadership and legacy. As they camp within sight of Jerusalem, Godfrey writes, tomorrow we march into history. May our deeds here be remembered not for the gold we gathered nor the lands we conquered, but for the justice and mercy we bestowed upon those who fell before us. In this richly detailed narrative, Godfrey de Bouillon emerges as a figure of complex morality, caught between his ambitions, his loyalties, and his faith. Through his eyes, we witness the intricate dance of diplomacy and betrayal that defined the Crusader state's early days, providing a nuanced portrait of the trials and triumphs that shaped this pivotal moment in history. As dawn broke over the rugged hills surrounding Jerusalem, the air was thick with the mingled sense of dust and anticipation. The Crusaders, having traversed immense geographical and spiritual distances, now stood before the gates of the Holy City. It was a moment charged with divine significance and fraught with mortal peril. Godfrey de Bouillon, surveying the walls that had stood defiant through the ages, felt the weight of centuries pressing upon him. His diary captures this monumental moment. Before us lies Jerusalem, the golden city, her walls bathed in the light of the rising sun, as if heaven itself casts its gaze upon our endeavor. The siege of Jerusalem, which commenced in June 1099, was the culmination of a long and arduous journey, both literally and metaphorically. The Crusaders, exhausted yet driven by a fervent piety, faced formidable defenses and a determined foe. Godfrey's entries from this period reflect the intense spiritual and emotional turbulence of the siege. "Each stone we cast against these ancient walls," he writes, "is a prayer for deliverance and a cry for redemption." Godfrey details the tactical challenges of the siege, from the scarcity of water to the construction of siege engines, using wood scavenged from miles away. The narrative is interwoven with vivid descriptions of the brutal clashes at the walls, the rallying cries of the knights, and the solemn processions of the clergy praying for victory. As our mangonels hurl fire and death, our priests lift their crosses high, beseeching the Lord to guide our hands, he notes, illustrating the stark juxtaposition of war and worship. The diary also delves into the complexities of leadership that Godfrey faced. As one of the prominent leaders, he was instrumental in planning attacks and mediating disputes among the crusaders, whose varied motives and passions often threatened to unravel their common purpose. "In the shadow of Jerusalem's walls, we find ourselves at the nexus of holy duty and earthly desire," he reflects, acknowledging the heavy burden of command. The moment of the city's breach is recounted with both triumph and tragedy. Godfrey describes the surge through the breached walls, the fierce resistance by the defenders, and the ensuing carnage. "We entered the city with shouts of victory, but soon those cries echoed with the lamentations of the vanquished, capturing the moral ambivalence of their success." The diary does not shy away from the brutality inflicted upon Jerusalem's inhabitants, a dark counterpoint to the crusaders' spiritual jubilation. Following the conquest, Godfrey's entries explore his conflicted feelings about the massacre that marred their victory. He contemplates the righteousness of their cause against the harsh realities of their actions. "What is the measure of our triumph?" he questioned, "when the Holy Sepulchre is surrounded by the blood of the innocent as much as the guilty?" As the dust settled, Godfrey was chosen to rule over the newly captured city, a role he accepted with reluctance. "To govern is to serve," he pens, "and in this holy city, I shall serve not as king, but as a guardian of the sacred sites that we have bled so much to reclaim." His reflections reveal a leader deeply aware of the transient nature of earthly power and the eternal scrutiny of divine judgment. Godfrey's stewardship in the early days of Jerusalem's new rule is marked by efforts to establish peace and rebuild the city as a beacon of Christian faith. "Let us build not just fortifications of stone," he urges, "but also ramparts of understanding and bridges of compassion." In closing this segment, the diary paints a portrait of a city at the crossroads of history, forever altered by the events of the siege. Godfrey's musings offer a somber meditation on the duality of their mission, achieved through both divine favor and human frailty. "As I look upon Jerusalem, the city of peace, I pray that our legacy is one of reconciliation, that future generations may walk these streets not in the shadow of our sins, but in the light of our hope." This detailed recounting not only captures the drama and strategy of the siege, but also reflects on the profound moral complexities faced by Godfrey and his fellow crusaders. Through his eyes, we experience the conquest of Jerusalem as a pivotal moment of victory and vexation, a narrative woven with threads of glory and guilt. In the aftermath of the city's tumultuous capture, Godfrey de Bouillon found himself the reluctant ruler of Jerusalem, a city with 1,000 years of stories soaked into its stone. His ascent to leadership was not marked by coronation regalia, but by the weary, dust-caked armor of a knight who had battled through countless fields to reach this pinnacle. "I am named guardian of this holy city," he penned in his diary, not through desire for power, but through duty to protect its sanctity. The early days of Godfrey's rule were consumed by efforts to stabilize and secure a city reeling from siege and conquest. His entries describe the complex task of establishing governance amidst the ruins of war. "We must rebuild what was destroyed, not only the walls and buildings, but the very fabric of this community," he writes, reflecting his vision for a reborn Jerusalem that could serve as a harmonious haven for pilgrims and a bastion of Christian faith. Jerusalem, under Godfrey's stewardship, faced numerous challenges. He dealt with immediate threats from neighboring Muslim territories and internal disputes among Christian factions vying for influence. His diplomatic correspondence, detailed in the diary, reveals a leader striving for peace in a region defined by its historical and religious strife. To hold Jerusalem, he notes, is to hold a dove in one's hands. It requires a grip both firm and gentle, lest it slip away or be crushed. Godfrey's approach to ruling was infused with his deep religious convictions and his commitment to the ideals of chivalry and justice. He sought to administer the city not as a conqueror, but as a custodian, ensuring the safety of the holy sites and the well-being of its inhabitants. "Each morning, I walk the streets of our city," he recounts, "to see with my own eyes the lives of those we have sworn to protect." Despite the myriad difficulties, Godfrey initiated several key projects to restore and enhance Jerusalem. His diary includes plans for the repair of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the enhancement of the city's defences, and the establishment of hospitals and hospices for pilgrims. "These stones we lay for the church are also the foundation of our new community," he asserts, symbolizing his dual role as both a spiritual and civic leader. The complexities of Godfrey's rule are further illuminated by his interactions with the various ethnic and religious groups within Jerusalem. His policies aimed at fostering an atmosphere of tolerance and coexistence, despite the prevailing norms of the era. "Jerusalem must be a city for all who revere it," he believed, regardless of the path they walk to bow at its holy sites. Amidst his governance, Godfrey faced personal trials as well. His health, worn by years of campaigning and the stresses of leadership, began to decline. His diary entries become tinged with a sense of mortality and introspection. "The weight of this crown is borne not upon my head, but upon my soul," he confesses, revealing the inner costs of his duties. The diary also reflects on the broader implications of his rule in Jerusalem, pondering the future of the Crusader states and the legacy of the Crusades themselves. Godfrey muses, "What we have begun here is a chapter in a story that will outlive us all. May those who follow in our footsteps tread wisely." As his rule progressed, Godfrey remained deeply engaged in the defense of Jerusalem, leading sorties against nearby threats and fortifying the city against potential sieges. His strategic acumen, crucial in the conquest, was equally vital in preserving the fragile kingdom he helped forge. "Each dawn brings new challenges," he writes, "and with them, new opportunities to affirm our commitment to this holy land." Godfrey's diary offers a reflective, almost prophetic vision of Jerusalem. "This city, graced by the footsteps of prophets, shall forever stand as a testament to our faith, our valor, and our human frailties. As its guardian, I pray that my tenure here will be remembered not for the battles fought, but for the peace achieved." Through these diary entries, Godfrey de Bouillon emerges not just as a conqueror, but as a visionary leader who grappled with the immense responsibilities of ruling Jerusalem. His words provide a deeply personal insight into the challenges of governance in the volatile landscape of the Crusader states, colored by his enduring faith and commitment to his ideal. "As the golden hues of dusk draped themselves over the walls of Jerusalem, Godfrey de Bouillon, the defender and guardian of the holy city, found himself reflecting on the twilight of his own years. His health, weakened by the rigors of leadership and constant vigilance against external threats, began to wane. Yet his spirit remained as indomitable as ever. His diary, rich with the wisdom of hard-won experience, chronicles these final years with a poignant blend of introspection and foresight. In these waning days, Godfrey writes, I am beset by the shadows of time, yet I am illumined by the light of our accomplishments and haunted by the specters of our failing. His entries during this period delve deep into the ongoing challenges faced by Jerusalem and the Crusader states. Continued military pressures from Muslim forces, internal disputes among Christian factions, and the daunting task of governance in a land far from the secure courts of Europe. Godfrey's narrative captures the relentless pace of conflict as he led his knights and soldiers in defense of the kingdom. The diary recounts several critical engagements, including skirmishes, with the Fatimid forces pressing from the south and the Seljuk Turks threatening from the north. Each clash of swords, he notes, is a prayer for peace, yet peace remains as elusive as the desert mirage. Beyond the battlefield, Godfrey's leadership was tested by the intricacies of diplomacy and the administration of a city that was a mosaic of different faiths and cultures. His approach, often more conciliatory than that of his contemporaries, aimed at fostering a fragile coexistence. "We rule not by the sword alone," he insists in his writings, "but by the scales of justice and the bonds of human decency." Amidst these trials, Godfrey's thoughts often turn to the spiritual dimension of his role. His diary entries reveal a man grappling with the moral implications of his actions and decisions. "Are we, as defenders of this holy place, also its worthy custodians?" he questions, reflecting on the paradoxes of wielding power in a land considered sacred by many. His relationship with the native population and other pilgrims is a recurring theme in his writings. Godfrey strove to integrate the diverse communities within the kingdom's governance, extending protections and privileges to ensure their stake in the city's future. "Jerusalem must be a beacon of light for all who seek it," he declares, envisioning a kingdom defined by more than conquest. In these latter years, Godfrey also faced personal losses and the inevitable reflections on legacy. His diary speaks of friends fallen in battle, of allies turned rivals, and of the fleeting nature of earthly glories. "What remains of a man when his time comes to pass into the Lord's hands?" he ponders. "Naught but the memory of deeds, the love he fostered, and the faith he upheld." As his health declined, Godfrey prepared for the transition of power, ensuring that the governance of Jerusalem would not falter with his passing. His entries from this time show a deliberate effort to strengthen the administrative and military structures of the kingdom. "I plant these seeds so that the garden we have tended shall flourish, even when I am but dust beneath its soil." The diary's final entries are reflective and visionary, imbued with a sense of impending farewell. "I have lived as a warrior, ruled as a guardian, and I hope to die as a pilgrim." He writes, his words, a testament to his journey from the battlefields of Europe to the spiritual epicenter of Jerusalem. Toward the end, Godfrey's musings turn philosophical, touching on the transient yet impactful nature of human endeavors. "We are but stewards of this world," he concludes, passing through history as shadows over the sand, striving to leave marks of light in our wake. Through these diary entries, Godfrey de Bouillon is revealed not just as a historical figure of conquest and rule, but as a deeply thoughtful individual facing the twilight of his life with dignity and introspection. His final years marked by continued strife, but also significant achievements in governance and diplomacy, are portrayed with a nuanced understanding of the burdens and blessings of leadership. As the final pages of Godfrey de Bouillon's secret diary come to a close, the dimming light of his life casts long shadows over the history he helped forge. The man who had embarked on a crusade driven by faith and bound by the call of the Pope, who had crossed vast and treacherous lands to reclaim Jerusalem for Christendom, now pondered the echoes of his deeds. "What are the marks of a life?" he writes in one of his last entries. "Are they the battles fought, the lands won, or the hearts touched?" We reflect on the legacy of Godfrey de Bouillon, a legacy written in the annals of history, with the ink of a warrior and the quill of a pilgrim. His tenure as the ruler of Jerusalem, though brief, was marked by significant challenges and achievements, shaping the nascent kingdom in ways that would reverberate through the corridors of time. Godfrey's rule in Jerusalem, a city at the crossroads of the world, was a testament to his abilities not only as a military leader, but also as a statesman. His efforts to balance the complex web of politics, religion, and culture in a city sacred to many faiths highlighted his deep understanding of the delicate nature of his role. To hold Jerusalem is to hold history's heart, he mused, and one must tread softly around such sacred chambers. His governance was characterized by a vision of peace and stability, a stark contrast to the violence that had marked his path to power. Through his policies, he sought to foster a kingdom where Christians, Muslims, and Jews might coexist under the aegis of mutual respect and shared humanity. It may be said, Godfrey hoped, that the sword that won the city was sheathed to let its people live in peace. Yet Godfrey's legacy is not without its shadows. The brutality of the Crusades, the bloodshed and siege of Jerusalem, posed questions that his diary reveals he struggled with until the end. Have we done right by the Lord? He questioned, grappling with the morality of a crusader's life. The conquests carried out in the name of faith. This introspection is a crucial part of the narrative, revealing a man who was not only a product of his time, but also a thinker ahead of it. Beyond the personal and immediate, Godfrey's influence extended into the broader canvas of medieval geopolitics. His leadership during the First Crusade helped establish a foothold for Christendom in the Middle East, setting the stage for a century-long struggle that would define much of European and Middle Eastern history. His actions laid the foundations for the Kingdom of Jerusalem, which would endure for nearly 200 years, a beacon of Christian kingship in the heart of the Islamic world. In cultural memory, Godfrey de Bouillon has been celebrated as a hero of the Christian faith, immortalized in epic poems, art, and literature. His image as a paragon of knightly virtue and piety was crafted and curated through the ages, influencing perceptions of the Crusades and the ideal of Christian knighthood. May my legacy inspire, he wrote, hoping his life would serve as a beacon to those who sought to reconcile the warrior's strength with the pilgrim's humility. As we draw the curtains on this exploration of Godfrey's diary, we are left to the portrait of a man who was both a product of his era and an iconoclast within it. His journey from the verdant fields of Boulogne to the holy streets of Jerusalem is not just a tale of battles and sieges, but a deeper story about the human spirit navigating the tumultuous seas of faith, power, and legacy. The echoes of Godfrey's life and leadership continue to resonate, a reminder of the complex tapestry of history where shades of light and dark are interwoven. Through the pages of his diary, we not only relive the events of a distant past, but also engage with the timeless questions about the nature of power, the cost of conquest, and the possibility of redemption. In concluding, Godfrey de Bouillon's legacy is a multifaceted one, reflecting the enigmatic soul of a man who sought to wield his power with a sense of divine responsibility. Let history judge me not by the battles I fought, he envisioned in his final writings, but by the peace I sought to sow.